What a strange and upsetting story Mark sets before us today. It plays out like a soap opera with a grisly ending. Mark, a gospeler known for his brevity, offers here an elaborate flashback sequence of Herod's birthday banquet. It's the longest stretch of Mark's text, in which has no mention of Jesus, and yet clearly prefigures Jesus' death under Pilate. As a preacher, I'm to share with you the good news. Yet this passage makes me feel like I've drawn the short straw. For this passage creates a sense of unease within me. Unease, certainly because of the macabre image of the platter, but also because of the selfishness on display here. Herod's willingness to let an innocent person die to save face. But perhaps because the story is repelling and creates a sense of unease, is the reason why we shouldn't hurry past it. What is Mark saying to us? Can it be that in the darkness here, we may see light? John the Baptist is the first person that we are introduced to in the Gospel of Mark. He appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Herod had been listening to John and his message of repentance. And Herod's wife was clearly concerned about this, for she is at the center of John's call to conversion. Herod was violating Levitical law by taking his brother's wife. And John was clear about this. And true to his prophetic vocation, he spoke truth to power. Herod may have feared John and thought he was a righteous and holy man, but Herod, for whatever reason, was never moved to repentance. He was curious, but not faithful. He probably liked his life the way it was and saw no need to change, even though this eccentric preacher preached otherwise. Maybe he didn't have the courage to repent and amend his life. It would be admitting he was wrong. And well, who likes to do that? Perhaps Herod thought that repentance was for other people, that these rules didn't apply to him. Rules were for weak people, little people, and clearly he was neither. He had lots of power. Or did he? His boast implies that he could give away half of the kingdom, but in truth, it wasn't his to give. More than that, as a slave to his ambition, selfishness, and pride, did that, in fact, make him weak? Jesus will say later in chapter 8, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it." Herod reveals himself in today's gospel as someone who saves his life in this world, his social position, at the cost of killing a holy and righteous man. He harms another to save face. He is weak. Weak people kill. Strong people suffer under their weakness, but do not retaliate in kind. John is executed by Herod. Jesus executed by Pilate. Both of them seemingly reluctant to deliver death sentences to these innocent men, but both ultimately succumbing to outside pressure. The question for us in our age is, how do we keep from being co-opted by this power and pressure that ultimately leads to weakness, that leads to unfaithful acts and behavior, that estranges us from God and from our neighbor? Whether it is in the seat of power that delivers the execution order, or in the crowd below Pilate's balcony shouting, "Crucify him." And today's sad and violent gospel passage is the invitation for each of us to conduct a fearless inventory of ourselves, to root out any inner Herod within ourselves, and with God's grace, to live differently. To heed John's call to repentance that Herod in his arrogance refuses to respond to. and this dark story, the call to repentance and the promise of forgiveness shines ever more brightly for us. Conversion to the eternal values that John the Baptist and Jesus proclaim and call us to is where true life is to be found. For a life of repentance, which we proclaim in our faith and with God's help live out in our lives, is where we find union with God and one another and our neighbors. For when we experience God's forgiveness and new life that follows, pride falls away, a healthy humility takes its place, and it's not so scary the next time to say, "I was wrong. I take responsibility. I apologize." Living a life of repentance is living a life of forgiveness for ourselves and for others. God's grace creates in each of us a generous spirit, shaping each of us as kind, humble, and strong leaders with integrity, something that our world needs more of. We don't need more Herods. We need more children of God living their faith. Early in my ministry, a quote from the book Learning While Leading struck me and has stayed with me. A leader is more interested in the truth than in being right, is more interested in progress than in power. That kind of leadership is born out of repentance and forgiveness and is very much a part of the Christian walk for every one of us. In other words, it is living a life of grace where Christ is at the center, empowering us to do more than we can ask or imagine, calling us to do brave things like having the courage to admit when we're wrong and to amend our lives, to forgive others, to forgive ourselves, and God supplying all the grace to do it so that God's kingdom will grow and flourish and expand and encompass the whole world. Amen.